Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests, where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode. Welcome to this week's podcast, Issues of the Heart. We're going to be covering anchor number 14, which I believe is episode 15, total episodes. And we're talking about anchors you throw out when you have a stormy relationship. And we've already told you that everybody goes through them. You've either been through one, you're going through one, or you will go through one because they happen to everybody. And the best thing to do when you're in the middle of a storm is not to move, just be still until you determine what needs to be done. And we've gone through 13 anchors already. We'll go through a 14th tonight. But I'll review them with you real quickly. First of all, we had the anchor of communication. The anchor of communication. When you're going through a storm in your relationship, in your marriage, you throw out the anchor of communication. Most battles become increasingly more difficult to deal with because of something someone says. How many times have you made a statement to your mate, and after it was all over, you thought, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. But the fact is, you can't take back what you said. You know, we've heard that old cliche for years, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Nothing's further from the truth. You can get fixed if you get hit by a stone, but words can last a lifetime. So we talked about communication, the anchor of communication, and in that we have thoughtful communication. Think about what you're going to say. Don't speak before you think. Someone told me years ago, well, I just say what I think, and my response is no. You say before you think, and that's where you have to stop. And then it's sincere communication. Say what we mean. Mean the right thing. And then there is respectful communication. Always communicate with respect. So the first anchor is the anchor of respectful communication. Then the second anchor we talked about is the anchor of a controlled response. The anchor of a controlled response. How often do we say or do something in that moment when we're out of control? And we talked about making a determination in our life, I will not get upset about things that ultimately don't make a difference. I'm telling you that if you'll evaluate your own relationship, I bet you'll find out that 75% or more of the things you guys get upset with each other about are things that really don't matter. They don't make a difference. So we need to throw out that anchor of a controlled response. Stop where we're at and respond the right way. Then we talked about the anchor of confidentiality. The anchor of confidentiality. Remember this concept. I will keep private those things that do not need to be made known. I'm telling you, there's a lot of problems that follow confrontations between couples because the husband or the wife shared it with people who did not need to know. If you need to talk to your pastor, talk to your pastor. Share it with your pastor. He is your wise counselor. If you have a counselor other than your pastor, share it with your counselor. But do not share it with people in the neighborhood. You don't need to share it with other family members. You don't need to share it with other people in the church. I will keep private those things that do not need to be made known. Because if you start sharing it with other people, I promise you, you're broadening the gap in your relationship. And either he or she will have a more difficult time returning to the relationship if they know that you have not practiced any reservation in sharing all those things with other people. So throw out that anchor of confidentiality. Throw out the anchor of surrender. Throw out the anchor of surrender. Remember this statement. I will give up something I want for the sake of those over me and for the sake of those under me. I will give up something I want for the sake of those over me and for the sake of those under me. There's some things we're asked to do by people who have authority over us. Maybe spiritual authority. It may be authority on the job. It may be authority in the family. And it may be things that we really don't want to do, and we stand our ground and we hold our own, and we have our own opinion. And sometimes we need to give up something we want for the sake of those over us. Sometimes when we are the authority, we have to give up something we want for the sake of those under us. You see, it all becomes a pride issue. So when the storms come and the battles rage and the marriage waters are in turmoil, throw out that anchor of surrender. Just surrender. Just be still and give up something you want for the sake of those over and for the sake of those under you. Then we can throw out the anchor of refuge. The anchor of refuge. Every couple needs a place to retreat to where the focus is only on themselves. I'm telling you, in talking to pastor and having been one, sometimes you have to deal with issues within your own family, and it becomes difficult because every moment you're dealing with somebody else's problem. You're getting a phone call. You're getting a message. You're asked to see somebody. You're asked to talk to somebody. You're asked to give up an evening, or you're asked to give up an afternoon. And it seems like all the things you need to do, you can't do because of all the responsibility you have in helping people and dealing with other people's issues. So every couple, when it comes to your marriage, listen to me very carefully. Excuse me. Your marriage is the primary thing. Your relationship with God, then your relationship with each other, and then your relationship with others. I love our church. I love the churches where I pastor. And I'd do anything in the world for those people. But my main priority was my wife, not my church. So, and if it worked, and we're going to talk about something in tonight's anchor that will help you understand how that all works together. Excuse me. But remember, when the water gets rough and the marriage turmoil gets difficult, throw out that anchor of refuge. Retreat to a place where the focus is just on you as a couple. Isaiah 25:4 said, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm." I'm going to tell you, my wife, if my wife's going through some stormy water, I ought to be that place of refuge she can flee to. When I'm going through battles and struggles, my wife ought to be that refuge I can retreat to, and she is. So throw out that anchor, a refuge, when the water gets choppy and the storm begins to rage. Then we can throw out that anchor of unity. Remember, we talked about that? God's plan was that every married couple be one. Here's the way he said it. He created man. He made man perfect. I hate to tell you this, ladies, but when he made man, he gave him everything he needed. He didn't give him a wife because there was something he lacked. He didn't give him a wife because there was something else he needed. He gave him a wife because the Bible said when he looked out of heaven and he saw that every animal in the field had a mate, but for man, there was no helpmeet for him. So he put him to sleep and he made woman. But he took a part out of man to make the woman, so man could only be complete when that part was put back and they became one. Here's what he said. He said, "Male and female created he them and called their name Adam." Did you realize Eve didn't even get a name until after they were kicked out of the garden? Do you realize that when she got a name, God didn't give it to her, Adam did. God's intention was that it was Mr. and Mrs. Adam. No independent names. Why? Because they became one. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh," the Bible says. And if we're going to accomplish anything in our marriage, if we're going to resolve any issues in our marriage, if we're going to make it through stormy water, it'll be because we throw out the anchor of unity. We remember we're one and we work together for that cause. Then we throw out the anchor of spiritual devotion. Every couple needs to spend time in God's Word together. Now, you know, I think it's a good thing if you can read the Bible together. I think that's a wonderful thing to do that. But at a very minimum, if you study your Bible and she studies her Bible or vice versa, at least talk to each other about what you learned. I always loved it when I would get a thought and I was preparing a message and that thought really weighed heavy on my heart and I got so excited about it I couldn't hardly stand it. My poor wife, bless her heart, she had to get 3 or 4 different versions of it preached to her before Sunday ever came around. Because I was so excited about it, I wanted to share it with her. I wanted her to hear it. I wanted her to say what a great sermon writer I was. I was just excited and I wanted to share that truth. So even, I think you ought to read the Bible together, but if you don't, at least share with each other the things you've learned in your own Bible reading and study. That is the anchor of spiritual devotion. Another reason you do that is because if I'm sharing with my wife the things I learned from Scripture, and she's sharing with me the things she learns, then both of us are anchored in the truth that we both deem the Word of God important and what God says valuable. So throw out that anchor of devotion. Then we need to throw out the anchor of forgiveness. The anchor of forgiveness. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The number one, and we stated this when we covered this anchor, the number one preventer of marital restoration is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the deliberate, willful refusal to give up the idea that I have a right to get even. The next anchor after forgiveness is the anchor of physical contact. Touch is one of those subjects that when we covered, it seems like we always cover from the negative aspect. And so I kind of explained that when we were covering this anchor. Excuse me just for a moment. We cover it from the don't touch. And there's value in that, and there's truth in that. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 7:1, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it's not good for a man to touch a woman." I understand all of that. Of course, the Bible there is talking more about, rather than just touching, he's talking about actual preempting of romantic activity. But remember this, we never really talk about when you should touch. And the anchor I'm talking about is that anchor when the stormy waters come, when the wind's blowing strong, when the water's getting fierce, there ought to be an anchor we throw out where we do have the tenderness of touch. You see, the principal truth is there is a danger in physical contact between unmarried men and women because it can put us on a slippery slope. But I will tell you this, when marriage troubles come and there's no physical touch between a husband and wife, the ship is doomed to sink. And when I say physical touch, I'm not talking about sexual activity. Sometimes the physical touch means nothing to our mates because they know it's just a prelude to something else. That's not the anchor I'm talking about. The anchor I'm talking about is physical touch when nothing is wanted or expected in return. It could be the anchor of hand-holding. It could be a gentle touch, a hand on a shoulder, a hand on a waist, an arm around her, arm around him in church. It can be a kiss. Physical touch helps to ensure there are no barriers in the relationship. When people are struggling with each other, the first thing that happens is the touch goes away. They don't hold hands anymore. They don't put their arms around each other. They don't touch each other on the waist or on the shoulder. The touch leaves. So when troubles come, you'd do well to throw out that anchor of physical touch. Physical touch usually speaks much louder than actual conversation. Sometimes it's better not to say anything. Just touch. Wives don't need their husbands to solve their problems. They just need an anchor, a physical touch. The next anchor we talked about was the anchor of laughter. Couples who laugh together stay together. Please, I hope you take that as seriously as I mean it. Couples who laugh together stay together. How's it at your house? Are you an old grouch when you get home from work? Are you one of those people that every time somebody in the house doesn't do it exactly the way you want it, or they don't respond exactly the way you expect, you become this grouchy old coot, and there's no laughter in the home. There's no joy in the home. Laughter. The Bible said it doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Laughter. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Hey, you know what? Medical doctors have already proven laughter helps you live longer. And I'm telling you, laughter makes your marriage stronger. The anchor of laughter. What about the anchor of emotional security? We talked about that one. Knowing you support each other no matter what is of great value. Knowing you support each other no matter what is of great value. Emotional strength should come from your mate. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26 says, "My son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Be that security. Be careful, because it's at those emotional times when you're going through a battle, when you're going through a storm, it's at those emotional times that the heart is the most vulnerable. And it's at those emotional times, if you don't become emotional security, you could create damage that cannot be repaired. Emotional security is provided through acceptance. No matter what. It's provided through respect. No matter what. Even if you don't agree, respect. It could be provided through gratitude. A heart of thankfulness. When's the last time you said thank you? Hey, you come home, dinner's ready. What'd you say? Was there a thank you? Was this great? Excuse me. Did you say, "Wow, honey, this is the best you've ever done"? It could come through understanding. Could come through compassion. Could come through being available, availability. Sometimes just being available. Then tonight, anchor number 14, the anchor of serving together. Helping others strengthens your own relationship. If you played in sports, and I enjoy sports, I played basketball, I played football, I played baseball. And one thing I learned, all of my coaches throughout high school and even in college, all of my coaches focused on a team building concept. If all of the players on the team function as one, you win games. Learn how the other players think. Learn how they respond. Learn what they would do, and then you can function as one to accomplish great things as a team. You know what? The most successful churches in the country, the churches that are doing a great work for God, those churches are churches that function with the concept of unity. They serve together. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, for whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, get it, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. Walking arm in arm. What's that game we used to play out on the playground when we were all little bitty kids? Red Rover, let Justin come over. And we would have our arms locked together, and the name we called would come running and try to break through the locked arms of two of the people in our line. And either he broke through or we held firm and he fell backwards and we won. Well, that's the way it ought to be in a church. That's the way it ought to be in a marriage. Striving together, arm in arm, working together. Someone who's involved in their mate's ministry or business or hobby rarely criticizes the ministry, business, or hobby. They rarely criticize, they're allegiant to it because they're part of it. They see the value in it. And when couples choose to unselfishly serve others in the process, they experience peace, contentment, and a deeper bond that strengthens their marriage. Okay, let's suppose you're gonna teach a life group. That's something that you need to do together. Because when you walk together hand in hand, it becomes a ministry of both he and she. And much can be accomplished. I know of preachers who've lost their families, and the response they gave for losing their families was because they just never, ever, God called them to ministry, but their wife just never would get on board with the ministry. My question, though, is that really what the problem was? Or was it that you set out on your own, you served on your own, you did what God said you were to do, and you never made the attempt, nor did you pray that your wife would get a burden for the ministry and would join you in your effort? Our ministry is a counseling ministry. And Steph and I decided in the very beginning that this was a team effort. And so every time we counsel people, we're both involved. Now, most of the time, she'll be actually in the counseling session. Sometimes, if it's a particular situation, and maybe the man may feel uncomfortable with that, I'll be the only one in the counseling session, but I always tell him, after he leaves, I'm going to share with my wife what we've talked about because I need to get her viewpoint in the situation. Hey, look, I learned a long time ago, too, that My wife's pretty smart. And women have a perception that men do not have. The fellows, please listen to me. If your wife says, hey, I think there's a problem, or be careful, or watch out, you better throw on the brakes, and you better back up, and you better watch out. Because more often than not, her perception is correct. I mean, that's what God gives her to make her the kind of mother that she is. That perception. So, we decided a long time ago when we started that this was going to be something we were going to do together. We share it. We talk about it. If I'm going to be dealing with a couple, I'll share with her before I ever talk to the couple what I would like to cover to get her input. Striving together, serving as a couple, has benefits that go beyond bonding and contentment and peace. Excuse me. There's sweet intimacy that comes when we work together and we serve God or we work on a project. Couples who embrace God's call to serve others experience an added closeness that others don't experience. To not strive together has the reverse effect. To not strive together, actually, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 is pretty a good illustration. And withal, now here's a wife, you're talking about a woman who's at home, doing her own thing. And the Bible said, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things they ought not. To paraphrase all that, they run around the neighborhood, they run around the church, causing trouble because they're not preoccupied in building people in a team effort with their mate. So I'm telling you, if you will invest in your mate, work side by side in ministering to other people, you're going to see some miraculous things happening. Participating together in ministry opportunities, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your community or the world, can also help you to grow in your faith as a couple. Working side by side to fulfill the Great Commission as a couple is one of the greatest things you can do. Listen to this, and I'll be finished. Something amazing happens when our focus is on service. Something amazing happens. Service is the antibiotic for the virus of selfishness. Selfishness is the number one killer of marriages. Selfishness. Instead of a couple working side by side, he goes his direction, she goes her direction, and there the two shall meet. You see, service requires activity, which eliminates complacency. So, the anchor tonight, the anchor of serving together when the storm comes, when the battle gets rough, throw out that anchor of serving together and you watch what God can do.